Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's Willie and D-Mays coming at you today on 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Frazier behind the glass, orchestrating things. Great to hear Woody and Jim with Chase earlier. Great to have Woody and Jim as part of the family. I'll always remember D-Mace taking my kids to school when they were younger. It's bringing back memories, but the time always, it's the same time every day, right? You leave the house, you got your routine. And the kids just used to love listening to Gender Wars. They were playing the birthday game that Joe always does, Joe Dubin, who's not here today. But Woody and Jim were doing the birthday game. It just reminded me of those days, the Gender Wars back. I'm guessing they'll maybe do the Gender Wars on 93.3 Classic
Hicks. That's what
Hicks.
I heard.
They brought
it
back.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's awesome.
This morning,
so they started their morning show on 93.3 Classic Hits. And those two are radio icons in our city. So we are really glad to have them as part of the family. So who won, Nick? I didn't hear. I didn't get to hear either.
I just heard that they brought it back. I didn't get to hear it this
morning. Woody won?
I don't know. Oh, for celebrity birthdays?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Woody won.
Okay. Yeah.
3-1.
Oh, wow.
I saw Woody, get one right, and Jim reacted. You know, like they always have the camera shot of the coach on the bench if something goes wrong, and he had the, you hit a ball that you think might be going for a home run, and Hook's fouled the last second.
The surrender cobra.
Yeah. Jim had one of those reactions. I could tell it wasn't going well for Jim.
But hey, you gotta look who's on the television. Number 22.
Oh, he's wearing
Don's
purple.
A different jersey.
Oh, that's a weird.
What up, yo, Nashville?
My heart. What did Fred Sanford on? Elizabeth.
I'm coming to join you, honey. That's how all Titans fans are now. I'm coming to join you, Derek. I'm coming to join you.
Derek Henry in a Ravens uniform. Oh, yeah. Well, that is going to be a big theme of the show today with the camp starting up tomorrow for the Titans, but around the league, one by one, they're all starting to crank it up.
Yes.
I see John Harbaugh, D-Mace's former coach, up at the podium right now. So it's a lot of flavor going on with that. So we're going to have a heavy football show today, and we're going to get into something in the first hour that I think people are going to really be interested in. And you know it, but we're going to break it down because it's a very important question to try to sort out what are the goals, besides the obvious, like, you need the results are everything. But more than that, this is a new season. You're looking to figure out what you've got. You're trying to build for the future. But we're going to illustrate a big hole in the team, a big, big group of question marks. And I'm not talking about a position group, but a roster situation and having to do with the age of the core of the team. We're going to get into that heavy in the first hour, maybe first half of the show. Because I think a lot of you are going to want to weigh in on this. There's a lot of different levels to it. The quarterback is a big part of it, but there's also the whole roster, I think, and the building that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are going to want to do. A lot of it will have to go back to what do you do about this problem that they have with the roster, and it has to do specifically with players that are 24 and under on the team. D-Mace found an article yesterday that I think illustrates what the Titans are up against. But, guys, I want to start with one quick thing, one non-football thing. You ever just had this? Carl Ravitch is the Sunday Night Baseball play-by-play announcer. Been around for a long time, does SportsCenter and all that stuff. I think he's probably a better studio person, SportsCenter anchor, than strict play-by-play. But he brought up a really interesting point. There are certain athletes that have the unbelievable hype, an unbelievable sort of presence when they are in center stage, but there are very few that seem to like to exceed expectations. Like just when you think you've seen Tom Brady do it all, he orchestrates the unbelievable comeback for another Super Bowl, right? Yes. And then he wins another Super Bowl with the Bengals, with the Buccaneers. Like, there are guys that exceed expectations even though they have the highest expectations. Carl Ravitch mentioned Tiger Woods. There are a number of them that hit this. But last night, it's Sunday Night Baseball. There's not a whole lot else going on. I got the Dodgers-Red Sox on. Mm-hmm. My wife, Erin, big Red Sox fan, okay. So she's watching.
Yes.
Shohei Ohtani hit a ball that is still going.
It's still out there?
I think it might be in orbit.
I was going to say, it was a moonshot. It was so far.
Dodger, it's still out there.
Dodger Stadium uh-huh. is the third oldest ballpark in the big leagues. It's hard to think about that, but you got Fenway, you got Wrigley.
All that money, and they ain't got a new ballpark?
No, and I'll say this. Dodger Stadium has been so well preserved.
Oh, okay. All right.
They've done a great job. So it's kind of getting to that point where you kind of want the old tradition of it. Because mm-hmm. it kind of feels like you're in the 1960s when you walk in there. I've only been to one game for the Dodgers, but that was a cool part of it. And it's
was
in
that
this
in
ravine.
1960? No, I'm messing with you.
Whoa.
I'm messing with you,
I am
Willie.
Starting to
I'm
get to
your
that
age
where some
Willie,
younger
I'm your
people
age,
are like,
though.
Okay, so would Willie have seen Sandy Koufax pitch? No, I'm not that old.
No, Willie, you
see
and I are
Colin
in the same
Colin Cowherd
ballpark.
The other day? He was talking with Derek Jeter and was like, so you went up against Nolan Ryan? Whoa, no, I did not.
Right.
Did not go against Nolan Ryan.
As you get older, it starts, you know, the
yeah,
eras start bleeding together
exactly,
a little bit.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But I've watched a lot of games on TV at Dodger Stadium. I have never seen a ball hit where Shohei hit it last night. There are pavilions in the outfield. Mm-hmm. He hit it over the pavilion. They measured it at 473 feet.
Goodness, and that thing probably was still going.
But it's yeah. There's something about where it lands. It's more fun to talk about than the actual distance, you know, because you're like, that was like a 600-foot home run.
Where did it land?
It landed over the pavilion. All of the people that were looking to try to catch the ball, uh-huh. you watch them, because usually you're looking at the fans, who's going to catch it? It's going to be in back, how far back is it going?
Yeah.
They just all turned and watched it go over this pavilion, and then they're running to the back of, you know, the walkway to see exactly if they can follow it as it bounces over the thing. Like, I don't know who ended up with it, but that was a big moment.
Somebody
on
outside
Sunday night.
The park
probably.
That was just walking
yeah.
by. Oh,
like,
baseball.
Well, here comes the ball. I wonder what just baseball. Happened. They probably heard the reaction of the crowd. They're like, well, something just happened.
Yeah. Somebody just threw a baseball. All right. Oh, wow. Free souvenir. No, somebody actually did post about it on Twitter.
Ohtani
oh, who got
it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was cool.
The stitching of the ball just looked deleted. Oh, like, wow. he got a hold of it.
He smacked that sucker.
Yeah.
But that is a guy that I think is in this crew now. And the Dodgers had a comfortable lead mm-hmm. in the late innings, so they got into this sort of underlying discussion of, is he going to pitch again mm-hmm. next year? Like, he's playing for the Dodgers. You just know the Dodgers are going to be loaded. Mm-hmm. He's going to be playing on a big stage.
He shouldn't have to pitch.
He shouldn't have yeah. to, but he wants to pitch. No, like, he's no. that guy. That yeah. he's,
well, let him pitch.
Nobody's ever done it the way he's done it before he hurt his arm. Mm-hmm. So this year, as most of you know, he's only DHing, and he might win the MVP. Even yeah. though he doesn't set foot on the field, he still is that good of a hitter. I don't know if he'll win it, but
can
there is an
win?
Argument. Nobody,
can you win?
No, you can. No DH has ever won
That's what I'm
an
saying.
MVP.
Okay.
No, nobody's yeah, okay. ever won it before, but you're eligible. They could, the voters could
and
vote.
If anybody's going to win it, it should be Ohtani.
He's so dominant. Yeah. Like, you have to watch him hit.
Okay,
you
so,
have to watch so, him hit. If you flip on a game and you – but he usually delivers.
So you just brought up a quick conversation here when you were talking briefly about guys that come in with so much hype. And then because we see this all the time, whether it be coming into college or coming into the professional ranks in any sport, a lot of people come. There are certain people, not a lot of people. There are certain people that come in with all this hype. And very few, and I mean very few of that select even show up to match that hype or, better yet, succeed that hype. I think there's only been, and I could be wrong on this, there's only been two guys that I know, possibly three, that I know that had come in with all the hype, surpassed the hype, and took it even further. Three guys are Tiger Woods, Mike Tyson, and LeBron James. Now, it could be more. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not more. But
do you think Jordan would be in there?
No, because Jordan didn't come in. No? He didn't come in with all this hype. He didn't.
He like, was a little bit. He's the third pick in the draft.
Yeah, but I'm saying coming out of like high school.
Yeah,
college,
yeah.
Like LeBron was the guy, and he remained the guy. Even until now, he's still the guy. So much so that he's the first, I think, American basketball player to don the torch in the Olympics. He's
right.
The first to ever do that. There hasn't been many guys or girls that have, you know, all the hype was on them.
Yeah.
From teenager.
Right. Before then, they ever
exactly
set foot on the real stage.
And that actually
there was a build up.
Exactly. That actually, you know,
Exceeded the expectations.
There could be more. I'm not saying there are not more, but the few people that I know, Tyson, Tiger, and LeBron. You could say the Williams sisters, Venus, Serena, maybe. Yes.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think of other players that have come in with all this hype. Like, when I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, oh, this is going to be a great, I'm talking about a transcending player.
Right.
Coming in with all the hype and then
would
exceed.
You say Ohtani had a lot of it?
And that's what, yeah.
And I'd say Bryce Harper was a little bit like LeBron in that they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated before he was ever
drafted.
What
about Dwight Gooden?
Dwight Gooden, I think there wasn't a lot of buildup.
Okay.
He kind of
– I remember him.
I
remember him as a young
pitcher.
It took
off. It took off when he was 19, but I don't think there was a buildup before he started.
Okay.
And that's a sort of a nuance of the argument. It's like – but there's also that whole next level of once you've done it,
can you do it again?
Can you keep doing it?
Exactly.
And when the focus is on you, can you keep delivering? It's just an interesting part. I'd never thought of it that way until Ravitch said it. But when you see a moment like that, he was right to point that out. That like,
oh, of course,
you've heard about this guy. Like he hit a bomb in the All-Star game earlier in the week. Right, of course he.
Okay, Willie,
he's getting to that point. Aaron Judge has got a little bit of that, but Ohtani is
he's
in
not
own,
like Ohtani.
Ohtani is in his own category.
I agree.
If he's able to come back to pitch, and his career continues to ascend, would he be considered the greatest baseball player ever?
Yes.
Even though Hank Aaron, you got Babe Ruth who pitched and hit so.
Like Willie said, put him in a different bracket, yes.
Okay.
Now, he'll be on the Dodgers, so more people will be watching than he was when he was doing it on the Angels, where his team wasn't very good, right? So that's a factor. I do think what do we always talk about? How many championships?
Exactly.
He's won?
How many
he hasn't won a championship yet. So that will be a – and he's getting into his 30s now. He's not – because remember, the Japanese stars play in Japan until a certain age. Then they are free to – either stay in Japan or come over and play. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he was in the league when he was in his young 20s. So it's a complicated question.
Uh-huh.
And only the future will tell, but this is part of it, I think, is the excitement of let's see if he can do it.
Because
right?
You've never seen anyone do it in the modern day baseball.
Like, for example, the MLB draft, there were some players picked, and one of them was the kid that a lot of you maybe around here watch play. Jack Caglione from Florida, great pitcher and hitter at the college level. But it's one thing to do it on the college level. It's another whole other thing to do it
pro.
On the big league level. There were several first-round picks that pitched and played in the field, which is becoming harder to do even at the college level. But only Ohtani has really been able to do it at the level, like top level of both.
He's been all-star.
Until he hurt his arm last year. But now that's the goal for him is on the Dodgers, star-studded team, hitting the way he's hitting this year and trying to return to pitch next year. That'll be a big story. But pretty interesting category just to think about, something to watch over the weekend that we thought about. Now let's get into what we want to hit on for the Titans on the verge of training camp. Let's start it this way. D-May sent this article. It's on Bleacher Report, I think is where –
yes.
The origin was?
Originated.
Bleacher Report, and it says, ranking the NFL's top 25 players under age 25 before the season. So that's the cutoff. If your birthday is sometime in October, December, and you turn 25, then you are eligible to be on this list. So it's not 25 and under. It's under 25 before the season starts. Okay? So that's the cutoff. Mm-hmm. They rank the 25 players. And I don't think it'll be a surprise to anybody. The Titans do not have a single player on the list in the top 25. Right? So that's kind of why you brought it to the table.
Yes,
right?
Yes, because we've had this discussion, excuse me. I'm dealing with this retainer on the back of my teeth, and it's killing me. I got to get it fixed tomorrow.
You're bringing me back to my junior high days when I had the braces.
Trying to talk, and it's like your tongue gets stuck under there.
Yeah.
But we've had this discussion before about the Titans roster and how what they didn't do in the past has caught up with them now. And it may take some years to sort of dig themselves out of it. They failed on their drafts, at least two of their drafts, in the last 6 years. Let's say that. They've completely whiffed. I mean, there's drafts where they don't have nobody, I believe, from that actual draft class on the team.
Yeah, the 2020 draft, they currently do not have a single player on the team.
And you're talking about 4 years ago. Yeah. These dudes should be signing new contracts right now with the Titans. But no, you don't have it that way. So you haven't built up the chess cabinet, so to speak, of talent. Now you're in a position where everyone else around you has built up young talent along with their veteran talent. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, who else you can throw out there? Baltimore, Cincinnati.
The one that really jumps out on this list is the Lions, right?
The Lions, absolutely.
They're starting to really get into that. They've got a great young group of 20, 22, 23, under 25 group that is good. And you can look at it and say, uh-huh, they're going to re-sign a lot. They'll want to build a nucleus, mm-hmm, keep the continuity. Like, I think about the 99 through 2003 Titans.
It was always the
standard people go by,
exactly,
right? How many guys did they draft and re-sign? Yourself, mm-hmm, Steve McNair, Eddie George, Samari Roll. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go down the list.
B-Hop.
A ton of them. And that's how you build a team that gets into a window, mm-hmm, and can win for a long time. It is hard to overcome it when you have this hole that the Titans are in right now, where you don't have that group.
It's put them behind the eight ball. That's why they had to do what they did this offseason. They had to be uber aggressive to try to balance things out, to give themselves an opportunity to win while they build up this roster the way it needs to be. I've talked about this roster for the last 3 years. This roster isn't where it needs to be. It's getting there. It still has a ways to go. Started with last year's draft class, but it's so far off from the other teams, the young teams that are doing well. That's why they had to go out and get those veteran guys to, like I said, to sort of level the playing field a little bit, because they know that they don't have the talent, the young talent anyway, that are going to compete with these other teams out there that do have the young talent.
And this is a key point that I think people need to keep in mind. It might work this year.
Yeah, it might. Exactly.
It might. If everything comes together, they can be competitive. But sustaining it, mm-hmm, and building a nucleus that you want to keep together for 2, 3, 4 years, you almost can't. It's almost impossible when you are signing this many players in their upper 20s, mm-hmm, because one, they're already making more money to start with because you had to acquire them on the free agency.
Exactly.
So they're more expensive than they would have been. And then number two, they're going to age out quicker. Mm-hmm. So you have to replenish through young talent that you're drafting and developing. Hopefully, the last two drafts will start to make up for it. They desperately need the last two drafts to start to materialize in a good way, and we'll go through it in the next few segments. But the empty drafts of 2020, like you mentioned, not a single guy left mm-hmm. on the team.
No.
And if I'm looking at this right, I think there's only one guy still in the NFL, and that's Christian Fulton, who's moved on.
Yes.
At least he's still in the league. The rest of the guys aren't even in the league. This was only 2020. 2021, I don't know that there's a single guy that will sign to a second contract from
that
group.
What's that 2021 group?
Okay, well, let's come back to that. And we're going to go over the 2021 and 2022 drafts and sort of illustrate what we're saying here. And we'll ask, what is the nucleus from these two drafts? We know it's none from 2020. So that's a complete whiff, nothing. And these are guys that should be coming into this category of 25 and under that are the nucleus of your team. Nothing from 2020. We'll go over 21 and 22 when we come back. And we'll also reference this list from Bleacher Report. Who are the best 25 players in the NFL that are 24 and under or will not turn 25 until the season starts? Stay tuned. We're getting it cranked up here on 102.5 The Game. It's Willie and D-Mace. And by the way, our phone text line is always open. If you want to weigh in on this, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stay tuned. We're getting it cranked up here on Willie and D-Mace.
Happy Monday. This is Derek.
It's Willie and D-Mace coming at you today on 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Frazier behind the glass, orchestrating things. Great to hear Woody and Jim with Chase earlier. Great to have Woody and Jim as part of the family. I'll always remember D-Mace taking my kids to school when they were younger. It's bringing back memories, but the time always... It's the same time every day, right? You leave the house, you got your routine, and the kids just used to love listening to Gender Wars. They were playing the birthday game that Joe always does, Joe Dubin, who's not here today, but Woody and Jim were doing the birthday game. It just reminded me of those days, the Gender Wars back. I'm guessing they'll maybe do the Gender Wars on 93.3 Classic
X. That's what
X.
I heard.
They brought it back.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's awesome.
This morning,
so they started their morning show on 93.3 Classic Hits, and those two are radio icons in our city. So we are really glad to have them as part of the family. So who won, Nick? I didn't hear. I didn't get to hear either.
I just heard that they brought it back. I didn't get to hear it this
morning. Woody won?
I don't know. Oh, for celebrity birthdays?
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, yeah. Woody won.
Okay. Yeah.
3-1.
Oh, wow.
I saw Woody, get one right, and Jim reacted. You know, like they always have the camera shot of the coach on the bench if something goes wrong, and he had the, or if, you hit a ball that you think might be going for a home run, and hooks foul at the last second.
The surrender cobra.
Yeah. Jim had one of those reactions. I could tell it wasn't going well for Jim.
But hey, you gotta look who's on the television. Number 22. Got?
Oh, he's wearing
Don's
purple.
Don's a different jersey. Oh,
that's a weird.
What up, yo, Nashville?
My heart. What did Fred Sanford on? Elizabeth.
I'm coming to join you, honey. That's how all Titans fans are now. I'm coming to join you, Derek. I'm coming to join you.
Derek Henry in a Ravens uniform. Oh, yeah. Well, that is going to be a big theme of the show today with the camp starting up tomorrow for the Titans, but around the league, one by one, they're all starting to crank it up. Yes. I see John Harbaugh, D-Mace's former coach, up at the podium right now. So it's a lot of flavor going on with that. So we're going to have a heavy football show today, and we're going to get into something in the first hour that I think people are going to really be interested in. And you know it, but we're going to break it down because it's a very important question to try to sort out what are the goals, besides the obvious, like, you need the results are everything. But more than that, this is a new season. You're looking to figure out what you've got. You're trying to build for the future. But we're going to illustrate a big hole in the team, a big, big group of question marks. And I'm not talking about a position group, but a roster situation and having to do with the age of the core of the team. We're going to get into that heavy in the first hour, maybe first half of the show. Because I think a lot of you are going to want to weigh in on this. There's a lot of different levels to it. The quarterback is a big part of it, but there's also the whole roster, I think, and the building that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are going to want to do, a lot of it will have to go back to what do you do about this problem that they have with the roster, and it has to do specifically with players that are 24 and under on the team. D-Mace found an article yesterday that I think illustrates what the Titans are up against. But, guys, I want to start with one quick thing, one non-football thing. You ever just have this Carl Ravitch is the Sunday Night Baseball play-by-play announcer. Been around for a long time, does SportsCenter and all that stuff. I think he's probably a better studio person, SportsCenter anchor, than strict play-by-play. But he brought up a really interesting point. There are certain athletes that have the unbelievable hype and unbelievable sort of presence when they are in center stage, but there are very few that seem to like to exceed expectations. Like just when you think you've seen Tom Brady do it all, he orchestrates the unbelievable comeback for another Super Bowl, right? Yes. And then he wins another Super Bowl with the Bengals, with the Buccaneers. Like there are guys that exceed expectations even though they have the highest expectations. Carl Ravitch mentioned Tiger Woods. There are a number of them that hit this. But last night, it's Sunday Night Baseball. There's not a whole lot else going on. I got the Dodgers-Red Sox on. My wife, Erin, big Red Sox fan, so okay. She's watching.
Yes.
Shohei Ohtani hit a ball that is still going.
It's still out there?
I think it might be in orbit.
I was going to say, it was a moonshot. It was so far.
Dodger, it's still out there.
Dodger Stadium is the third oldest ballpark in the big leagues. It's hard to think about that, but you got Fenway, you got Wrigley.
All that money and they ain't got a new ballpark?
No, and I'll say this. Dodger Stadium has been so well preserved.
Oh, okay. All right.
They've done a great job. So it's kind of getting to that point where you kind of want the old tradition of it because it kind of feels like you're in the 1960s when you walk in there. I've only been to one game for the Dodgers, but that was a cool part of it. And it's
was
in this
that in
ravine.
1960? No, I'm messing with you.
Whoa.
I'm messing with you, Willie.
I am
Willie.
Starting to get
I'm
to that age where some
Willie,
younger
I'm
people
age,
are like,
so.
Okay, so would Willie have seen Sandy Koufax pitch? No, I'm not that old.
No, Willie, you and
see
I are
Colin
in the same
Cowherd
ballpark.
The other day? He was talking with Derek Jeter and was like, so you went up against Nolan Ryan? Whoa, no, I did not.
Right.
Did not go against Nolan Ryan.
As you get older, it starts, you know, the eras start bleeding together a little bit.
Absolutely.
But I've watched a lot of games on TV at Dodger Stadium. I have never seen a ball hit where Shohei hit it last night. There are pavilions in the outfield. He hit it over the pavilion. They measured it at 473 feet.
Goodness, and that thing probably was still going.
But it's there's something about where it lands. It's more fun to talk about than the actual distance. You know, because you're like, that was like a 600-foot home run.
Where did it land?
It landed over the pavilion. All of the people that were looking to try to catch the ball, you watch them, because usually you're looking at the fans, who's going to catch it? It's going to be in back, how far back is it going?
Yeah.
They just all turned and watched it go over this pavilion, and then they're running to the back of, you know, the walkway to see exactly if they can follow it as it bounces over the thing. Like, I don't know who ended up with it, but that was a big moment.
Somebody
on
outside
Sunday night.
The park
probably.
That was just walking by. Oh,
like,
baseball.
Well, here comes the ball. I wonder what just happened. Baseball. They probably heard the reaction of the crowd. They're like, well, something just happened.
Yeah. Somebody just threw a baseball. All right. Oh, wow. It's a free souvenir. Somebody actually did post about it on Twitter.
Ohtani
who got
it? Hit it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was cool.
The stitching of the ball just looked deleted.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He got a hold of it.
He smacked that sucker.
Yeah.
But that is a guy that I think is in this crew now. And the Dodgers had a comfortable lead in the late innings, so they got into this sort of underlying discussion of, is he going to pitch again next year? Like, he's playing for the Dodgers. You just know the Dodgers are going to be loaded. He's going to be playing on a big stage.
He shouldn't have to pitch.
He shouldn't have to, but he wants to pitch.
No,
like, he's that guy.
Well, let him pitch.
Nobody's ever done it the way he's done it before he hurt his arm. So this year, as most of you know, he's only DHing, and he might win the MVP. Even though he doesn't set foot on the field, he still is that good of a hitter. I don't know if he'll win it, but there is an argument. Nobody, you can. No DH has ever won.
That's what I'm saying.
MVP. Okay. Nobody's ever won it before. But you're eligible. The voters could vote.
If anybody's going to win it, it should be Ohtani.
He's so dominant. Like, you have to watch him hit.
Okay,
you have to watch him hit. If you flip on a game and you. But he usually delivers.
So you just brought up a quick conversation here when you were talking briefly about guys that come in with so much hype. And then because we see this all the time, whether it be coming into college or coming into the professional ranks in any sport. A lot of people come, there are certain people, not a lot of people, there are certain people that come in with all this hype. And very few, and I mean very few of that select even show up to match that hype or, better yet, succeed that hype. I think there's only been, and I could be wrong on this, there's only been two guys that I know, possibly three, that I know that had come in with all the hype, surpassed the hype, and took it even further. Three guys are Tiger Woods, Mike Tyson, and LeBron James. Now, it could be more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not more. But
do you think Jordan would be in there?
No, because Jordan didn't come in. No? He didn't come in with all this hype. He didn't.
He like, was a little bit. He was the third pick in the draft.
Yeah, but I'm saying coming out of like high school.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Like LeBron was the guy, and he remained the guy. Even until now, he's still the guy. So much so that he's the first, I think, American basketball player to don the torch in the Olympics. He's
right.
The first to ever do that. There hasn't been many guys or girls that have, you know, all the hype was on them.
Yeah.
From teenager.
Right. Before
then,
they ever
exactly
set foot on the real stage.
And that actually
there was a build up.
Exactly. That actually, you know,
exceeded the expectations.
There could be more. I'm not saying there are not more, but the few people that I know, Tyson, Tiger, and LeBron. You could say the Williams sisters, Venus, Serena, maybe, yes.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think of other players that have come in with all this hype. Like, when I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, oh, this is going to be a great, I'm talking about a transcending player.
Right.
Coming in with all the hype and then
would
exceed.
You say Ohtani had a lot of it?
And that's what, yeah.
And I'd say Bryce Harper was a little bit like LeBron in that they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated before he was ever
drafted.
What
about Dwight Gooden?
Dwight Gooden, I think there wasn't a lot of buildup.
Okay.
He kind of
– I remember him.
I
remember him as a young
pitcher.
It
took off. It took off when he was 19, but I don't think there was a buildup before he started.
Okay.
And that's a sort of a nuance of the argument. It's like – but there's also that whole next level of once you've done it,
can you do it again?
Can you keep doing it?
Exactly.
And when the focus is on you, can you keep delivering? It's just an interesting part. I'd never thought of it that way until Ravitch said it. But when you see a moment like that, he was right to point that out. That like,
oh, of course,
you've heard about this guy. Like he hit a bomb in the All-Star game earlier in the week. Right, of course he.
Okay, Willie,
the
if he was,
he's getting to that point. Aaron Judge has got a little bit of that, but Ohtani
but
is
he's
in
not
own,
like Ohtani.
Ohtani is in his own category.
I agree.
If he's able to come back to pitch, and his career continues to ascend, would he be considered the greatest baseball player ever?
Yes.
Even though
you got Babe Ruth
who pitched and hit, so.
Like Willie said, put him in a different bracket, yes.
Okay.
Now, he'll be on the Dodgers, so more people will be watching than he was when he was doing it on the Angels, where his team wasn't very good, right? So that's a factor. I do think there. What do we always talk about? How many championships?
Exactly.
He's won?
How many
he hasn't won a championship yet. So that will be a – and he's getting into his 30s now. He's not – because remember, the Japanese stars play in Japan until a certain age. Then they are free to – either stay in Japan or come over and play. So it's not like he was in the league when he was in his young 20s. So it's a complicated question. And only the future will tell, but this is part of it, I think, is the excitement of let's see if he can do it.
Because
right?
You've never seen anyone do it in the modern day baseball.
Like, for example, the MLB draft, there were some players picked, and one of them was the kid that a lot of you maybe around here watch play. Jack Caglione from Florida, great pitcher and hitter at the college level. But it's one thing to do it on the college level. It's another thing to do it
pro
on the big league level. There were several first-round picks that pitched and played in the field, which is becoming harder to do even at the college level. but only Ohtani has really been able to do it at the level, like top level of both.
He's been an all-star.
Until he hurt his arm last year. But now that's the goal for him is on the Dodgers, star-studded team, hitting the way he's hitting this year and trying to return to pitch next year. That'll be a big story. But pretty interesting category just to think about, something to watch over the weekend that we thought about. Now let's get into what we want to hit on for the Titans on the verge of training camp. Let's start it this way. D-May sent this article. It's on Bleacher Report, I think is where the origin was.
Originated
Bleacher on Report, and it says, ranking the NFL's top 25 players under age 25 before the season. So that's the cutoff. If your birthday is sometime in October, December, and you turn 25, then you are eligible to be on this list. So it's not 25 and under. It's under 25 before the season starts. Okay? So that's the cutoff. Mm-hmm. They rank the 25 players. And I don't think it'll be a surprise to anybody. The Titans do not have a single player on the list in the top 25. Right? So that's kind of why you brought it to the table.
Yes,
right?
Yes, because we've had this discussion, excuse me. I'm dealing with this retainer on the back of my teeth, and it's killing me. I got to get it fixed tomorrow.
You're bringing me back to my junior high days when I had the braces.
Trying to talk, and it's like your tongue gets stuck under there.
Yeah.
But we've had this discussion before about the Titans roster and how what they didn't do in the past has caught up with them now. And it may take some years to sort of dig themselves out of it. They failed on their drafts, at least two of their drafts, in the last 6 years. Let's say that. They've completely whiffed. I mean, there's drafts where they don't have nobody, I believe, from that actual draft class on the team.
Yeah, the 2020 draft, they currently do not have a single player on the team.
And you're talking about 4 years ago. Yeah. These dudes should be signing new contracts right now with the Titans. But no, you don't have it that way. So you haven't built up the chess cabinet, so to speak, of talent. Now you're in a position where everyone else around you has built up young talent along with their veteran talent. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, who else you can throw out there? Baltimore, Cincinnati.
The one that really jumps out on this list is the Lions, right?
The Lions, absolutely.
They're starting to really get into that. They've got a great young group of 20, 22, 23, under 25 group that is good. And you can look at it and say, they're going to re-sign a lot. They'll want to build a nucleus, keep the continuity. Like, I think about the 99 through 2003 Titans.
It was always the
standard people go by,
exactly.
Right? How many guys did they draft and re-sign? Yourself, Steve McNair, Eddie George, Samari Roll. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go down the list.
B-Hop.
A ton of them. And that's how you build a team that gets into a window and can win for a long time. It is hard to overcome it when you have this hole that the Titans are in right now where you don't have that group.
And it's not even close. It's put them behind the eight ball. That's why they had to do what they did this offseason. They had to be uber aggressive to try to balance things out, to give themselves an opportunity to win while they build up this roster the way it needs to be. I've talked about this roster for the last 3 years. This roster isn't where it needs to be. It's getting there. It still has a ways to go. Started with last year's draft class, but it's so far off from the other teams, the young teams that are doing well. That's why they had to go out and get those veteran guys to, like I said, to sort of level the playing field a little bit because they know that they don't have the talent, the young talent anyway, that are going to compete with these other teams out there that do have the young talent.
And this is a key point that I think people need to keep in mind. It might work this
year.
Yeah,
it might. Exactly.
If everything comes together, they can be competitive. But sustaining it mm-hmm. and building a nucleus that you want to keep together for 2, 3, 4 years, you almost can't. It's almost impossible when you are signing this many players in their upper 20s mm-hmm. because, one, they're already making more money to start with because you had to acquire them on the free agency.
Exactly.
So they're more expensive than they would have been. And then, number two, they're going to age out quicker. Mm-hmm. So you have to replenish through young talent that you're drafting and developing. Hopefully, the last two drafts will start to make up for it. They desperately need the last two drafts to start to materialize in a good way, and we'll go through it in the next few segments. But the empty drafts of 2020, like you mentioned, not a single guy left mm-hmm. on the team.
No.
And if I'm looking at this right, I think there's only one guy still in the NFL, and that's Christian Fulton, who's moved on.
Yes.
At least he's still in the league. The rest of the guys aren't even in the league. This was only 2020. 2021, I don't know that there's a single guy they will sign to a second contract from
that
group.
What's that 2021 group?
Okay, well, let's come back to that. And we're going to go over the 2021 and 2022 drafts and sort of illustrate what we're saying here. And we'll ask, what is the nucleus from these two drafts? We know it's none from 2020. So that's a complete whiff, nothing. And these are guys that should be coming into this category of 25 and under that are the nucleus of your team. Nothing from 2020. We'll go over 21 and 22 when we come back. And we'll also reference this list from Bleacher Report. Who are the best 25 players in the NFL that are 24 and under or will not turn 25 until the season starts? Stay tuned. We're getting it cranked up. Here on 102.5 The Game, it's Willie and D-Mace. And by the way, our phone text line is always open. If you want to weigh in on this, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stay tuned. We're getting it cranked up here on Willie and D-Mace.
Happy Monday. This is Derek.
Willie and D. Mace coming your way here on 102.5 The Game. We're talking about the fact that the Titans roster is bleak, ages 25 and under. Are you worried that we're running on the parade during a time that's supposed to be so hopeful as training camp is starting to open up next week? We'd love to hear from you. Does this change your outlook? What is your expectation level of this Titans team going into the season? And as a reference point, we're telling you who the best players are without a young nucleus to really have going forward. What is the reasonable expectation? 615-737-1025. Here are the top players, 24 and under. In other words, they don't turn 25 until after the season starts. Number one is C.J. Stroud, age 22. As a reference, Trevor Lawrence is still only 24. He's been in the league, it seems like, a while now. He's going into his third season.
Yeah.
No, fourth season.
Fourth season,
going into his fourth season, and he's still 24. Mm. Michael Penix and Bo Nix, who haven't taken a snap yet, even in a preseason game, they're 24. Will Levis, as we've said, is already 25. Stroud is 22. 22, and he's already done what he's done in the league. That is scary, and because he plays in the AFC South, it's doubly scary.
Mm-hmm.
Sauce Gardner, number two on the list, Jets corner, who is really good. He's special. Mm-hmm. The Jets are the Titans' second week opponent. So much attention gets paid to Aaron Rodgers. You forget the fact that the Jets have a very powerful young defense, and this is, again, the theme of the hour. The Titans don't have that young nucleus, but Sauce Gardner is a great cover corner. First team All-Pro twice in two seasons, and he's still 24.
We have a text on here, Willie. Says, so we only have maybe 2 to 3 good players under the age of 27. So you're telling me we have a chance. And that's from Skyler. Well, Skyler, yeah, I guess you would say, yeah, you got a chance.
Yeah, we do want to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville. If we could have drafted Mahomes as a rookie, do you think he'd be the same top quarterback if he was a Titan?
I don't know. I can't say that he would. I can't say that he wouldn't. But I know, you know, everyone that has quarterback, at least, that have played under Andy Reid, they've had good seasons. And to a point where they've had great seasons, or either NFC Championship games, Super Bowls, AFC Championship games, Super Bowls. So Andy Reid seems to be a wizard when it comes to offenses and quarterbacks. But I still think, had he got drafted here, I think he still would have been a good quarterback. Now, would they have won the Super Bowls that Kansas City won? I don't know. I can't say they would have. I can't say they would not have. So
that's an unanswerable
question.
Exactly,
yeah.
Ben says, this nucleus discussion with failed draft picks really highlights one big thing. The Titans are going to have to be exceptional at finding talent for the next 3 or 4 straight years just to be average in all likelihood. Well, I don't know about that, but they are starting from behind.
Yes.
And it's not the fault of Rand Carthon or obviously Brian Callahan, but their eye for talent has got to be exceptional to catch up. It's like when you stumble out of the gates in the horse race, come out of the gate slow, you better be really good at closing. Like, you got to make up for it somehow the race.
That's why it's critical and imperative that, you know, these draft picks in prior draft, Peter Skoronski, Will Levis, and I'm only going back to last year's draft. I'm not even going back to the 22 draft. Peter Skoronski, Will Levis, Tajay Spears. Those three guys, I think, needs to hit. They need to be guys that are a part of why you're winning and not a part of why you have been losing or continue to lose. They need to change that, flip that narrative. And then J.C. Latham, Sweat, Gray, those guys. And I'm not even talking about the guys that got drafted under them. I'm just talking about the first three or four rounds or their first three picks. They need to find a way to make sure these guys hit, that they're impact players for them.
That would help a lot.
Yes.
Another texter texts in says, this segment perfectly illustrates why J-Rob got fired. That's true.
But I don't want to go back there,
right,
but it's true. I get it. Yeah.
This is where you're paying the fiddler for those drafts. And yes, J-Rob was at the helm for all three of those drafts that we talked about. So that's the catch-22, because J-Rob still walked out at a time where he had won 61% of his games. And so people will say, hey, they were winning with J-Rob. They were winning. And now this new regime inherits this, and I think that's something that they're going to have to try to overcome, is if they struggle, they're going to say, well, look, Rand Carthon doesn't know what he's doing, or Callahan, he's not a good coach. And they are not responsible for the fact that this team has virtually no nucleus of 25 and under players. This is going to be a tough thing to navigate, I think. Let's see, another texter. We got a lot. All of a sudden the text line exploded.
Yeah.
I don't know, something might have been, there was a glitch. All of a sudden we got all the texts. So if you've been waiting for us to read your text for a while, we apologize. We're just seeing these. Another texter says, could have drafted Trey Smith in the 6th round for the terrible O-line in 2020, but chose Racy McMath instead, no longer in the league. Of course, we can always go back, hindsight is in the mock drafts. Look at this guy. He was there. Why didn't they pick him?
Because he wasn't high enough on their board, just like the other people.
We knew
that
when we knew
their board.
Like Amon-Ra was available for the Titans, took Des Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I mean, you can have a lot. And it's one thing, you can do that for every team in every sport, every year in the draft. But when you don't hit on any of them, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's not that you skipped or you missed a chance to get one specific guy. Who knew at the time? You can't even play that game. But when you strike out on all your picks, that's a problem. Let's see. Chris, Gretzky and Lemieux had a ton of hype. Oh, we're going back to the early. See, this is how far this text just got to us. And it was earlier in the hour. We were talking about Shohei Ohtani Gretzky and Lemieux had a ton of hype before coming into the NHL. Even though Gretzky was never drafted, everyone knew about the kid before he plays his first NHL game. Yeah, that's happened. I think Connor McDavid hit that as well. So some really good texts to end the hour here. We're going to continue this discussion for one more segment. Then we're going to get into some other league topics around the NFL as training camp opens, including Jordan Love, who is a very interesting thing to compare alongside of where Will Levis is at his age of 25 and how quickly it's got to happen for him, because before you know it, the Titans will have to make a decision on his future. And as we know, making the next investment in a quarterback is a big, big investment, money-wise, cap-wise. It changes everything. 615-737-1025 on our call or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Willie and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.